First of all, I've done a lot of research about the value of the Nakupon, what we call the Nakupon National Office property. That is a property that's close to the KPFA building. And I'll give you the details. It's worth, according to three, a developer and two real estate agents, it's worth currently between $1.2 and $1.3 million. And I'll explain why, and you can do your own research. The address is, it has two addresses, although it's one building. It's one building with two sides, like a duplex commercial building. It's 1921 and 1925, Martin Luther King Jr. Way in Berkeley. It is only 3,027 square feet big. It's a very small property. It's also in terrible shape. It needs $100,000 to $200,000 of renovation. It has no parking. Developing it would take zoning adjustments by the city of Berkeley. And it would be very difficult to develop that property because of no parking and because there are height restrictions on how much you can develop it. At any rate, there have been wild estimates that it's worth $6 million or $8 million. It is not. But you can look at that. Berkeley is a hot real estate market right now, but there's a certain amount per square foot of commercial real estate in that area. And the amount of the value per square foot comes out to $1.2 to $1.4 million if we sell it. So it's not going to save Pacifica to sell that property. I think it might be a really good idea to sell it, but it'll just about tide us over. What were the other questions? Okay, go ahead.
So the first thing when I heard about the judgment was, oh, why don't we appeal it, the judgment, so that'll give us some more time. That's a typical thing. However, it turns out that to appeal that judgment, we would have to post a bond, cash bond, of 1.5 times the amount of the judgment. So that idea kind of like faded out pretty quickly. So that, you know, so I don't think that we have the money to pay the cash bond, and we have the money to pay the judgment. The collateral for the loan, somebody asked about the collateral for the loan, has to be real property. That's just the reality. The Nakupon, the question of why we haven't dealt with these issues before. It's because people's backs weren't against the wall and everybody has been pointing to everybody else's building, everybody else's signal, and just putting off dealing with it. And the debt, we've had many, you know, last year we called a number of P&B meetings to try to deal with it, and people wouldn't attend the meetings. They wouldn't, so that we couldn't have quorum to deal with them. There was a PNB meeting that was scheduled for last week with a very good question. If we're in such craziness, why didn't we meet last week? And that was because we didn't have the numbers to tell people of how much we could get in any of these issues. Now, the Nakupon building, actually, we has been authorized to put it on the market for quite a while, but there's been a big problem getting it appraised. I do think it makes sense, but it's unfortunately selling the Nakupon building is not going to solve the problem. So,
I have
10
questions now.
Okay, yes. Now, the lease management agreement. What a lease management agreement is, there was a proposal for a lease management agreement by Dan Coughlin, who is now the manager of the Manhattan Neighborhood Network. It's a TV network in New York City. He used to be the executive director of Pacifica way years ago. Here's the situation with a lease management agreement. First of all, they cannot pay off any of our debt or give us any money. That's illegal. The only thing that they can do is they could take on the contract moving forward of the debt we're going to owe, the $60,000 a month. By the way, it's $60,000 a month because it's an escalating debt. And over the next 3 years, it's probably going to be about $2 million that we're going to pay them in tower rentals. Okay, so we possibly could have the Manhattan Neighborhood Network pay us rent. It's a lease management agreement. It's a lease, so we can ask them a certain amount of monthly rent. And they could take over the payments to the Empire State Realty Trust moving forward. However, they would have complete control of WBAI. We would lose that station, essentially. They would be able to use our license. There would be no WBAI. Lease management agreements run for 5 years with an option, a mandatory option to renew for another 5 years. So that would be essentially losing WBAI, control of WBAI for 10 years and not getting any money. Where will we be? We don't even get, like, we're not going to get $10 million or $20 million for it. We're going to get nothing. So,
and
we still owe the Empire State the $1.8 million. All our other debts are still owed. We don't gain anything that I can see. Very little for doing that. And were there other questions?
Okay, yeah, we're going to need to move on, but did you have your questions answered, Lawrence? Thank you. Fernando, and if we can keep it brief.
I only have two questions. As Mr. Alexander stated correctly, our product is programming. One of the reasons why WBAI has fallen into a bottomless pit where it is now is because of programming. Some of the sitting members of the PMB at this point, sitting in this table, suggested that by exporting some of the KPFK programs into WBAI, that we just saved the day and everybody will be happy at the end of the day. It was a fiasco. It didn't work. WBAI is worse than ever.
That's right.
So I'd like to know why we make such a decision. My second question. The Empire State Realty Trust, a very powerful organization, instead of whining and dining with them, trying to get into some amicable position to argue a favorable resolution of our debt with them, it was decided to antagonize them, to attack him publicly, and that backfired on Pacifica. I'd like to know why these decisions are allowed. Thank you.
Jonathan?
Well, can I ask, his first question was about programming. Currently, WBAI receives about 26% to 30% of its revenue from Los Angeles-based programming, like Margaret Prescott. Margaret Prescott raises money like hell for WBAI, thousands of dollars. So that's roughly a quarter. I don't know who else is. I know Jimmy Dore is on BAI and a few other Los Angeles programmers. Recently, we did an analysis of where all of the funding for BAI comes from, and again, a large chunk of it comes from Los Angeles programming. I have to believe that every Pacifica radio station has at least one good show, one good show that'll be good on another radio station. We're a network. Happens all the time.
And it's 150.
And it's 2017. And yeah, we do have 150 affiliates. About a quarter of that revenue comes from local programming right there at BAI. I think another quarter of it comes from stuff like Tony and Gary Null. You need a mix now. I don't remember what the second question was. I'm not sure if it was one that I could answer.
The Empire State Realty Trust being attacked in public.
Okay. that was an angle that folks decided to take because they were 9/11 profiteers at the time. They jacked up their leasing agreement. And essentially, we owe them the money on paper. We owe them the money. We just owe them the money, so we're going to lose in court anyway. And we, again, rent, the lease amount was about $50,000 a month, a little bit more. We were paying them $12,000. How long would you accept that? If you owed me $50 a month and you kept paying me $12,000, at some point it's going to add up, and it added up to what we got here now, $1.8 million. And this summer, we may or may not have made that $12,000 a month payment every week. So, yeah, we weren't going to be good. There wasn't going to be very much favorable outcome coming from that.
And, Thank you, Jonathan.
And I just want to add to that, that we had been trying to negotiate with the Empire State Building, and they had been stonewalling us entirely for months. And so the idea was to try to get public support, which we did get a lot of public support and a lot of public officials to start putting pressure on them. And if we had had more time, that might have been successful. But trying to be nice to them had turned out to be a non-starter for months. So it wasn't like that was our first tactic.
Thank you. Reza?
Yes, we are facing a real problem.
Use the microphone, please.
Hey, real problem. You know why? It's not the first time. It was not the first time, you know, we are discussing that. You know, $1.8 million we owe. I want to ask seriously, who owns the building on Wilshire Boulevard with 40 story and you collect $40,000 from each floor? And you are begging people?
Who?
Yes.
No crosstalk, please. No crosstalk, please.
And you are begging people to donate money, donate. All these Spanish programmers are coming without any penny spent for food, spent for gasoline. Who owns that building on Wilshire Boulevard with 40 story and you collect $40,000 a month from that building? Yeah, you are begging these people to donate money? Hell with that.
No idea.
Okay. Tell us.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Okay. I'd like to respond to that. Ken heard about, I don't know, 3 weeks or a month ago, that Reza publicly stated that Ken and I own a 40-story building in Mid-Wilshire.
Wow.
I wish. Believe me, Ken and I do not own a 40-story building. I don't know if one even exists in Los Angeles. But anyway, we do not approve it, Reza, because I would like to own a 40-story building, in which case I would loan Pacifica the money. But this is a complete false.
Excuse me,
fellow
speakers. Excuse me, fellow speakers. Okay, thank you, Grace. Steve, do you have any questions for me?
I think we're on a path to getting our house together and healing, but what we need is time. And part of our time has finally run out with the Empire State Realty Trust. They are an NYSE-listed stock. Those directors have an obligation, one where they can be sued to their shareholders. We have assets. They have moved in to collect their debt. They're behaving in the way they're supposed to behave. But it puts us in a dilemma. Now, we're starting to heal the process around here, at least 5 years of awful, if not 10 years of bad management. And what we need to do is get the next two financial statements out. That'll put us in a position to get money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, in addition to approach foundations that would like to see us survive, to see if they can give us some money. So it's all a matter of time. Now, the signal swap is off the table. I mean, we've talked about it today, but we needed a vote of the membership, and it'll at least take 3 months to get that done. So we have no room for any signal swap. But in thinking along those lines, I'd like you to bear in mind, I was at the open house for KPCC two Sundays ago, and I got a chance to talk to Bill Wilson for about 20 minutes. He's the president there. And one of the functionaries there confided in me that KPCC would buy our signal in a heartbeat. You can't even hear them on this side of town. You can hear us all all over the Southern California. So that's, if you're talking about signal swaps, that's something to bear in mind. But I don't want any of this. I don't want to see any of our stations go. I want to see us expand and put in more cities and really make this something where we serve our whole population. What we have now are two really cherry properties. We got the property next door to KPFA's offices and functions up there in the Bay Area. And that's a potential sale. But the real thing that saves us, and what I really feel that I got at the financial committee meeting on Wednesday, is that this property in Texas will save us. We can't sell it at buyer sale cost, either not for $2 million, but for the full $4 million. They need to move. We got to sell that. That'll give us the time we need. And who's the negotiators with the Empire State Building at the moment? Thank you. Everybody else gone over. Give me some room here. Grace, who are the negotiators with the Empire State Building? Is that proprietary information, or is that closed-door information?
No, it's not. It's two or one Sam.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, can I please? There's one other question that wasn't responded to. That was Lawrence's. The lawyer is Samuel Himmelstein, and there's also a bankruptcy lawyer. Sam is doing the negotiations in New York.
Can we get a period of time to stretch out the payments there?
No. Not if they don't agree.
Yeah.
Okay, they have to agree, and they're not. It doesn't look like they haven't come to the table so far.
Can we all?
Okay. Here's another piece of information. The Houston building has been appraised. KPFT has been appraised at 2.5 to 5 million. There is a very big variance in the estimates of appraisals of commercial property. That's why the amount of the least, the most, is so great with commercial properties. That was recently appraised. Now, the next thing is this, a very important question, and that's this. If we're first of all, I don't believe that a buyer of a signal or a signal swap offer, I don't think that they will loan us money if the contract is not a solid contract. In other words, we can't sign a contract for a signal sale or swap without approval of the membership. That's in our bylaws. I doubt that we would get a loan on that. But however, even if we could get a loan on a deal, if the National Board approves a signal swap, specific signal swap, we might be able to get a loan contingent on membership approval. However, that will be off the table in bankruptcy. Nobody's going to loan us a cent if we're in bankruptcy. It's not going to happen. And I doubt that a loan would happen from a purchaser contingent on a vote of the membership. I really doubt that. So that's my opinion. I could be wrong. Maybe a loan is possible. I kind of doubt it.
The Texas property is the only thing that can really save us now.
Do you mean the loan on the license, right? That was the question that I asked.
No. It'll be a loan on the license. It's not a loan on the license. You can't take a loan on the license. Yeah. The FCC won't approve that. They can approve it's a complicated thing. And also, the FCC would have to approve a license signal sale swap. Or a signal swap. And let me tell you, if we're in bankruptcy, and, you know, we're such a mess, a disorganized mess in every which way, we run the risk of having the FCC saying, you're not capable of running this radio station. They could just pull the license, any of our licenses. They could say, no, you don't have a license anymore. We're granted that license. We don't own the license outright. So this is very dangerous territory. I have to tell you, it's very dangerous. And these are very hard decisions. Sorry to lecture you.
Now, we have less than half an hour left for time certain, and we do have another 15-minute session for our public. We have the Treasurer's Report, which I believe includes a motion to pass a budget. So if we can try to expedite that.
Okay, yeah, I'm the treasurer, Ken Aaron. I'm going to get too close to the mic. Sure. I'm going to speak loud enough you'll hear it without the mic, but I don't want to muffle. So as the general manager told you, we're doing well in the fund drives, and this is part of looking at the budget. The general manager has instituted two new improvements on revenue. Let's call it the half-hour pitch on popular programs that weren't pulling in revenue during the fund drive. That's one. And the second is monetization of our assets or resources, renting out studios for podcasts or editing, renting out the facility for film crews or fashion shots. According to the general manager, this is the only radio station that's open for that kind of rental. And from my experience, I have some experience with that. The general manager is going about it in a very professional way. She's creating a production book so that you charge fees for everything, from parking, time, power, equipment, extra staff, everything. So it's being done in a very professional fashion, and I have confidence in that. And, oh, there was a third thing that's being done by our music director, Maggie LaPeak, has vastly increased the revenue obtained from media sponsorship. Let's say it's approximately $5,000 a month. So the point is, this moves us into an arena where we have at least supplemental income from alternative financial sources. Another thing she's mentioned, which is can be done once we have the staff to implement it, is monetization of our archives. Maybe different membership fees or something. But it's a question of looking how we can make more funds rather than doing fund drives where we're pitching or offering as gifts items which are not necessarily aligned with our mission statement. But, you know, the world is the world. We live in the world. And, you know, we need to elicit support in the most favorable way we can. So coming up to that, looking at the budget, is my experience, this is a very clear-cut budget which was put together by Barry Brooks, a very competent business manager, who's, I will say incidentally, he's doing KPFK, but he's also been doing the books for WPFW and WBAI and getting the audits done and everything like that. He was given a template or method of doing the budget from the national office. He did that. He came up with a budget with the general manager approving it. And this was all distributed to you, and then the chair sent out a brief summary, which is just the budget, not showing the financials from the previous year. The major thing to recognize in the budget is there's an increase in anticipated revenue. And that's on the one that says, if you look at the graph, it says major revenue resources. Major revenue sources. So it's showing you the big white thing in the bottom is the fund drive. And that's going up. We're looking at it going up.
Excuse me, what page?
That's second to the last page, the graph.
So listener support is really fund drive income. That's going up. Also, car donations is going up. And the miscellaneous income, like from media sponsorship and studio rental, is going up. But all of these things are supported, so I don't consider it to be fanciful or imaginary. It's been shown in the last quarter of 2017 that these changes have increased our income in those arenas. So I accept that increased revenue. The other thing, if we go to the expenses page, which is called like KPFK budget expenses, obviously the majority of our expenses is payroll. The reason that that's higher is because we contracted to take on an additional programmer, pay programmer with paid producer. That's our This Is Happening segment at 4 o'clock. That's one cause of the increased personnel costs. The other is we're allocating in there potential of hiring either a volunteer coordinator or assistant to the general manager or to somebody to negotiate, to try to handle social networking, things like that. We need more administrative staff. Some of our staff put in like 7 hours a day on the average. And I know, you know, and there's a big overload, and there's a lot of things to do and so forth. So that's why. So I support this budget significantly. And with that being said, we shouldn't be shocked if there's a major change that occurs in the next few months because of the consequences of what's happening with the summary judgment or sales and so forth. But hopefully we have to operate with this budget as if there is, you know, the, what's happening outside is outside our bubble. This is the budget based on no calamities. And hopefully we'll be able to go with this. And it looks very good. It's very sound. I didn't find anything in here that was unexplained or mysterious. There's a few areas where we could look to economize, and we're making steps on that too, mostly telephone services and so forth. So that's all. So I move to approve this budget. If this is approved by the LSB, it then goes to the National Finance Committee and then to the PNB for approval.
Is there a second on that?
I have a question. We're copies of the budget.
Is there a second on that?
I object. I'd like to ask some questions of
the
information.
Okay. So a motion's been made with no second. We're going to move into the question and answer session. In 5 minutes, we're going to move to public comments.
I have some questions about approving the budget before we approve it.
Okay, yes, please, Myla. Go ahead.
Okay. Ken, can you tell us, I may have missed it, but has Sam, is this budget recommended by Sam Agarwal, our CFO?
It was submitted to Sam, and I asked him, I told him, like, the budget runs from September to October. So we're already in the budget. Excuse me, did I get that right? It runs from October 1st to September 30th of next year. So we're already like 15 days into that period. So I sent him this budget and said, please, you know, take a look at this. He had given us a statement that because of getting the audit done, and because of the Empire State situation, he was moving forward the regular timeline of budget approval. No budgets have been approved for any of the business units. We only heard the budget for the Pacifica Radio Archives, and it wasn't yet approved by the National Finance Committee. So everybody's been given an extra month or so. So I sent him this budget, and I told him, we're going to use this until such time as you reject it or approve it. But he hasn't notified me either way.
Thank you. We had a question over here someplace. Lawrence?
Yeah, Ken, thank you for your diligent work on this budget. I, however, just got it. So I just received it today. So there's no way without me being able to analyze it and have somebody help me analyze it, would I be able to vote for it today.
Okay.
So
it was an email to all LSB members.
Well, again, I've been out of the email loop for a few things, and I did not get the budget.
Okay.
I did not get
this. Well, you should give me your correct email.
Well, I've given the secretary my card 3 different times, and I've been kept. I've been not, for some reason, I have not. I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything, but I have not received certain emails.
I'm going to repeat. Give me your email by the time you leave today. Give me your email, and I will add it to my list. Yeah. I send you the emails; they don't come back to me. So far as I'm concerned, you have been receiving them. Yeah.
I'd like to.
Please use the mic.
Sorry. I would like to make a, I don't know, amend the motion. Pardon me?
Speak up.
Oh, speak up? Okay. Essentially, I would like for us to go back to an older practice of having a meeting where we have a discussion, maybe a special meeting of the budget, so that we can go over the budget, and actually it's one of the few things that we as a board can do. And so I would like to, I don't know where we are in the motion process, because I think there was a motion, but I'm not sure if it's on the table because it didn't have a second. If we don't have a motion on the table, I would like to make a motion that we have a special meeting, call a special meeting of the PNB to have a briefing, I mean of the LSB, to have a meeting on the budget.
Second.
Is there anyone opposed to that motion?
Can I speak against this?
Please do.
I've been on the LSB before, and the budget and the details of the budget, and everybody wants to be responsible and contribute to it and go over the details of what's happening. I want to point out, the budget is a hypothetical projection of how we intend to spend our money, earn our money, spend it, pay our bills, get our revenue. It's a hypothetical plan. It is not a law. I have never known a general manager to follow the budget. The budgets are put out, and necessity or inspiration causes the general manager to go ahead and do what they intend to do. I've put motions forward. I'm almost finished. I've put motions forward that were approved, that the general manager, to go outside the budget, has to get approval of the IED, the general manager, the CFO, and the head of the National Finance Committee, and some kind of legal rep. I put policy there to handle off-budget expenditures. But it's a question of implementation. So if we wait and go through, I don't know when you want to do it, but all that's happening is you're postponing approval of the budget as we go further and further and further into the year. If we don't approve this now, it's not going to go to the NFC next Tuesday. It's not going to go to the next PNB meeting. And it'll just, you know, we'll be just floating with it hypothetically. So that's why I'm speaking against having a special meeting.
I'm willing to entertain a motion to extend time by half an hour. Would anyone like to make that motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
10 minutes.
Without a second, we are going to move. Okay. Is anyone opposed to extending time certain by 15 minutes?
But I have to leave at 1:30.
Is anyone opposed to extending? Okay, we're extending time certain by 15 minutes by consensus. Thank you. So we will continue with the questions and answers at this time. Grace.
Okay. I'd like to move that we approve this budget with the proviso that it can be amended, corrected, changed, after a meeting of the at any time in the next 2 months, that it's basically a provisional approval. Now, I want to speak against having a special budget meeting of the LSB because we've tried that in the past and they've never reached quorum. So anybody who's really interested in looking at the budget and going over it with a fine-tooth comb can certainly go to the Finance Committee and do it there. Or write up their ideas to the our treasurer and the rest of the Finance Committee and the rest of the LSB. But I don't think that we should delay approving this budget at this time.
The
I think we should vote it.
We should
do not interrupt.
We should.
No cross talk, please, Bella.
So essentially, I would like to just add an amendment to this that the approval today is provisional and can be changed or amended within the next 2 months by this body.
Okay. Is there any opposition to the amendment?
I oppose it.
Okay.
It's very time for this.
Are you going to have public comment?
I'm going to have public comment after we finish with the treasurer's section. We've extended 15 minutes, so we can do public comment at 1:30. I have Lance.
This is really disconcerting to me. As a board member, I have been involved in budgets forever and ever. And I understand that budgets are hypothetical and they're based upon assumptions. But I don't know how in the world I, as a board member, can be expected to vote on a budget that I have been handed in the last 10 minutes without a fuller explanation of all the assumptions that go into it. So, therefore, and I hate to delay things. I understand that we're under serious constraints. But I just want to say, as board members, when we put our imprimatur on this budget, assumptions, hypothetical, or no, we are each responsible for the potential outcome of that budget. And I just do not feel comfortable at this point without further explanation of what the guidelines governing these assumptions are. And so, therefore, I think it is incumbent upon us as a responsible board and as responsible board members to at least make an attempt to get a budget presentation of what exactly is contained in both the expenses and the revenues of this organization.
Well said.
Yes. Well said. Well said. Can you have public comment before the vote, Jamie?
I don't know that we're going to have a vote. Myla. Oh.
My
question.
Thank you.
I very much am in agreement with what Matt Simmons just said. Is it on?
It's on.
Okay, can you hear me now? Okay. You know, in the bylaws, one of the most important responsibilities of this board, excuse me.
Please listen.
One of the most important responsibilities of this board is to approve a budget. And in the past, I don't think that we have devoted adequate time to discuss this and understand this very important obligation and responsibility that we have. And I feel exactly the same way that Lance does. I think that we really need to devote enough time to have a thorough discussion about the budget at the board level, not just at the Finance Committee level, but at the board level. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lauren. Yeah, I agree. Believe me, I really do agree with that assessment and with Lance's foresight on this. I just was handed the budget today. For some reason, you know, I checked my spam too, and I didn't get the email about the budget. And I know even when the previous stretchers have had presentations, I know they're a pain in the dukkus, but you know you still got to have them. And so I would amend Grace's motion of having a proviso of 2 months, a 2 month window, by first allowing the first month for a presentation, and if possible to vote right after the presentation for the budget, no later than the following month that you mentioned. That we have the opportunity to edit and revise.
I'm sorry, Lawrence, are you making a motion that we table the vote for the budget until next month where we can have a presentation?
Yes.
Do we have a second on that?
Second.
Yeah. Is there any objections to that?
I'm going to object. Okay. I have to respond to some statements that were made. This budget, the full, with a lot more data than was handed out in these sheets, the finals for 2017, the totals for 2012, 13, 14, 15, this was all distributed at least, I don't remember, like October 5th or something to all of the LSB. It was distributed earlier to the Finance Committee. I want to point out that we only have two LSB members showing up to the Finance Committee. Just two. As you're all open to come. All LSB members are open to attend. Maybe I run the meetings in a very boring fashion, but nobody's showing up. So if you want somebody to present what the justification or the estimation is all based on what National sent us down of how to figure it out. And but that's okay. It doesn't matter that much, as I said. We can postpone it 3-4 months. We can run without a budget. But we're going to be, I think that the general manager is going to be using this budget because this is the budget that the general manager put forward. So if the LSB decides they want to wait a month to approve this, that's fine. It's not going to have that much consequence. And then we'll have somebody explain to you, and I think it would be members of the LSB that are on staff, like Jonathan Alexander, and maybe if the general manager's here, explaining what these actual costs are, why we have to pay this much for computer maintenance and that much for tower rental and this much for payroll and health and so forth and all of these details. But it is all there in the spreadsheets. So I understand that you need time to look at it, and I appreciate your diligence and responsibility. I'm not opposed to that. So that's fine. Postpone.
So you're saying now you're not opposed?
No, I want to go on record as being opposed.
Okay, so let's vote on the motion.
Come on, Jamie. Have some public comment first.
You could not take the vote. You could not take the vote.
Okay.
It's good to have some.
I have not authorized public comment at this time.
We're going to
vote on whether or not we're going to postpone it.
So
if you could give the microphone back to Lawrence, please.
There's still my amendment on the table, on the floor. You can't say motion to postpone. I mean, there's an amendment to the motion.
Yes, you can.
The amendment was to pass the budget provisionally and to allow the LSB to revisit it in a two-month period. That's the amendment. Okay, what was your amendment? And then there was a second amendment.
Right, I amended it to have a presentation. The first one that you mentioned, to have it edit over OB Vision, and then the second one to vote on the budget.
The second one that you mentioned, vote on the budget.
Okay. Lawrence, I don't understand your amendment. So it's a second amendment.
At this point, I don't think we have the time to debate the motions and vote on them without curtailing the public comment. Is there a motion to extend for another 15 minutes? Is there a second?
No.
I'll second.
Okay, is there any objection to extending for another 15 minutes?
Yes.
There is an objection. So in that case, at this point, I'm going to allow public comment at this time. Please, I have... Okay.
Okay, I don't want to speak long on this, but I want to say I would not approve this budget. I see... sorry, Christine... It's your first time making a budget. You didn't have any help, and any help who knew how to do this. I see it overestimated by about $500,000 in revenue. And you may think that it's going to happen, but we don't make budgets based on what we think. We base it on historical documentation. And as to that, Ken's graph here, of what we've even made in the last 10 years are wrong numbers. You don't seem to, I don't know where you got these numbers. I think you got them from the audits. You don't really understand how they make the audits and listener support on that. And the expenses, some are overestimated, some are underestimated. If you had... the financials from the last couple of years, you could see that. And you could make them more in line with what the actuals are. It's not your fault, I don't think. You know, I mean, but you don't have the information that's needed to make a real budget. Also, I haven't seen how many fund drives are in the budget, at what time, at what day per day, and what the fulfillment rate is. That's where you get your actual listener support.
It should be all listed in there.
It's not listed in here. I haven't seen it anymore. At any rate, people, I would not approve this budget until you've really gone over it and based it on historical evidence reports.
Okay, actually, she's absolutely correct. So this budget should never have been brought here. When Grace Aaron suggests that people should come to the Finance Committee, the Finance Committee is a lockdown committee. Just like the Governance Committee is a lockdown committee, and most of these committees are lockdown. You have no input. The public cannot input. They're not allowed to input. So the Finance Committee, it is the wrong venue to suggest that people can come and get informed and input. So we need to have a special meeting for the budget to address all the factors that have been incorporated into the budget. And as a bookkeeper, I know that is essential, and that is the way it has been done in the past. Very often in the past, they have been red-stamped or rubber-stamped, and they do not help the foundation or the station. So let's do the right thing, and I appreciate Lawrence asking for the proper venue to present this. The other thing is I'm very curious how we came to $8 million monthly on accounts payable. And I need to know, I'm sorry?
Not debt.
Total debt.
$8 million?
Yeah,
oh, so that is a total, but that was across the network or just KPFK?
Across the network.
Okay, I need to know what that breakdown is, because I was just freaking out if this was something like even a quarterly. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I still want to know about the $8 million and think all the listeners throughout the network needs to know about the $8 million. It's a question, again, of transparency. I don't know who's doing the website now, but it is a fucking disaster. I can't find out who the current LSB members are, the Pacifica site. I can't find out who the PMB members are. We cannot hold you accountable if you are invisible.
Right.
You know, everyone cannot come here.
Yes.
We need transparency, and I urge you on the budget to table it and go through the process that Jan had suggested that we used to always do. It's part of how to re-democratize us. You know, we fought in 2002. We ended up with bylaws that helped, but we still need to be working on that. Today was very productive. I think the listeners have to know all this stuff about what's happening with the debt, with the judgment. Posting that thing that the IED posted is totally useless.
Time.
We need information.
Thank you. Yeah, I concur completely with that. As a former chair of this body and a former treasurer of this body, I'm really glad that I think you're going to postpone ratification of this budget. I think it's outrageous. There's a 10% projected increase in listener support without any foundation, despite Ken's assurances that he has a foundation for it. That's $310,000 more listener support anticipated than in the last year, and you have to have a pretty strong justification for that. There's also $250,000 increase in the personnel costs. $250,000 increase in personnel. You have to have some explanation of that. Last year, personnel costs were $1,769,000. Projected for the next year, $2,097,000. So you can't agree to this budget without looking into the numbers very, very deeply. And if you do, you're embarrassing yourselves. I want to urge you again. I made this motion several times as a member. You need to have a publicly accessed email address for the local station board that listeners can respond to, and it's shameful that you don't. The Pacifica National Board, anybody in the United States can write an email to pmb@pacifica.org and reach the entire National Board, and you should do the same.
Thank you, Michael.
Voy a usar el doble de tiempo porque mi comentario es en español.
He's saying that he's going to make his comment in Spanish.
So voy a usar el doble de tiempo.
So he's going to use double the time.
Creo que como una estación de radio pública, KPFK, la Pacífica, la Fundación Pacífica, no se ha dado cuenta del trabajo que tiene que hacer, no solamente en el sitio de web.
So as a public radio station that Pacifica is, they haven't been able to figure out what their workload has been, and one of the examples is the website.
Entonces, estamos aquí en Los Ángeles, soy parte de Vientos de Santana, y fue un programa que fue recortado de la programación en español.
I'm here in Los Angeles, and one of the programmers called Vientos de Santana, one of the programmers in Spanish that was recently cut from the programming.
Lo cual me parece totalmente absurdo, tanto como el sitio de web, ¿no?
Just as absurd that it was cut, the program, just as the absurdity that is demonstrated in the website of KPFK.
Porque todos sabemos que California, al igual que otros estados, es parte del 67% que Estados Unidos robó de México.
Because we are in California, and as we know, 67% of it was stolen from Mexico.
Y si es una estación de radio pública, se debería de fijar que la mayoría de su población, al menos aquí en Los Ángeles, es mexicana.
And if it is a community radio station, it should notice that majority and acknowledge the majority of its population is a Spanish-speaking community.
Entonces, desde mi punto de vista, deberían de atender a la población mexicana.
So from my point of view, it is important that KPFK attends to that community.
Si es que en verdad es una estación de radio pública.
If in fact KPFK really is a community radio station.
Y si tuvieran ese esa delicadeza de hacer su trabajo.
And if you had the detail to do your work.
No tendrían problemas financieros.
You wouldn't have any financial problems.
Entonces, pues creo que hay que darse cuenta de que hay que hacer un trabajo que no hemos hecho.
So let's look at the work that we have not done.
Y así poder avanzar poco a poco, y si decimos que somos progresistas, pues que se vea un poco mejor.
And that's how we can evolve, and if we're saying that we're progressive, then we can actually become that.
Un pensamiento progresista.
If we're saying that we have a thought that is progressive, then we should be able to hold ourselves accountable to that.
Porque debemos recordar cómo es que otras razas vinieron a este continente.
Because we also have to remember how other groups of people, ethnic groups, have come to this country.
Gracias.
When Santana is with Santana.
Hi, excuse me. I'm going to speak on just a very small issue. I don't know if you're really available to listen to this because this has been, this whole meeting is a surprise to me. I didn't know we were in such difficulty. So I'm commenting as a listener. When I listen to the programming and the programmers, I want us to feel very proud of our democratic processes. I'm proud of our fundraising model. Not ashamed of it, but proud of it. Because where else really in this country can you get, I know some of you folks don't think so, and I'm listening to your comments, but we have a breadth of opinion that we don't hear on any other media outlet, all the commercial media outlet. This is the only Pacifica network. This is the only network where we at least get to hear and express our opinions. So, with that in mind, I would really like the programmers and the people who are doing fundraising, because it is very hard work, and I really appreciate Christine and all the other people who do this amazing job. I would really like to hear us utilize the positive comments of our listeners so that we can hear during the course of an hour somebody saying, like when they call in and they're pledging money, if the phone answerers would ask the question, what do you value about KPFK? Why do you support KPFK? What programs do you like on KPFK? And give those answers to the programmers of the hour so that they can read them on the air. And throughout that hour, we get to hear the different people's reasons. You have thousands of people who love you, care about you, and support you. And we're all sounding very desperate when we're on the radio raising money. Not all of us, but I mean, some of the programs sound very desperate. And it isn't attractive.
No.
We want to really be proud of our station and feel confident that we have something so special that nobody else offers. And we like to hear, and when I listen to KUSC, I was telling Mila the other day, they talk about what the listeners say. We could have a little something on the website, I don't know, where people could leave their comments and that the programmers could pull from that. Even if nobody's calling in at that very moment, instead of our programmers sounding depressed and angry, sometimes they even sound hostile to the listeners, that is not attracting.
It's Pacifica, isn't it?
Well, we need to change. So we need to change our culture then.
Exactly.
We need to change our culture so that we're more loving and affectionate and supportive to one another, so that we can expand that. Because people out in the listening audience like me, I'm hearing you day and night, and I love to hear you, and I love you even when you're angry and hostile. But it kind of is a turnoff. That's all I'm saying. So I would just like if they could just ask the question, why do you support KPFK? What do you like about KPFK? What matters to you? What do you value about KPFK? And throughout the hour, we could hear those answers being read on the air. It makes us all feel like we're a part of a much larger family, not alone, scraping for money. I know we're in desperate straits, but we have something really wonderful to offer.
Well said. Beautiful. Thank you so much. I'm new to L.A., actually. I'm in awe of what Christine and how Jonathan and Alan and Mark and the people are, and all of you are able to maintain this station. And I want to say as a historian that this crisis, and I know it's hard to see out of in the middle of it, but this crisis is symptomatic of a technological changeover. And broadcast radio, as we know it, is a dinosaur. It's obsolete. And we need to, New York, the crisis comes out of this tower in New York that's obsolete. Trading down the signal is absolutely the right thing to do. It's absolutely essential. That license in New York is going to be worth 10% in 1 year of what it's worth now. Look at taxi licenses in New York and what happened to them because of Uber. We have to find alternative, and here in L.A., we're dependent on one piece of metal sticking up on Park Service land. Some schmuck at the Park Service gets a bug up his ass, and we are screwed. We're out of business. We have to find alternative ways to broadcast. There needs to be a committee of the national board and certainly of this station to look. I've heard from Greg Powis about direct transmissions. We cannot go on broadcasting into a car culture. You know, Hulu, Netflix, YouTube, all these technologies didn't exist 5 years ago. To get our very special content out there, we need right now to have a committee to find alternative ways of broadcasting, or this all becomes academic. Yeah. We are all sitting on an obsolete technology, and this is the moment to find the way out. And it's no accident this crisis comes from broadcasting in New York City. Somebody a long time ago had the foresight to buy these assets. That's why we exist now. The time to make this change is now, so we need a committee to deal with this. Look at the big picture in the future. Thank you so much. Sorry for the time.
Thank you.
Well, I disagree heartily with the last speaker. Radio is not obsolete. I don't object to other forms of communicating with a listener base. They should be pursued. All of these other methods. But to give up on radio would be a tremendous mistake.
That's what I said.
So I would like to now address what my compañero Hugo said a moment ago. He used the word progressive. Now, this station has never claimed to be progressive, nor in the bylaws do we have the word, this is a progressive station.
Right.
We do have the word in the bylaws that this is a community-based station and that we should broadcast to the needs of the community. I don't think we're doing that. And that was the only point I wanted to bring up, is that these... I would say that Ian Masters is not broadcasting to the community, but Jerry Quickly is. You notice the difference in those two broadcasts. And that's the point I wanted to make. Thank you.
Okay, we have
reached time, sir. Oh, last, just one last. I think there's, this should be seen as an opportunity as well as a crisis. And I wonder whether, there's been a lot of talk from time to time, not just this meeting, but many meetings about diversity. Now, it seems to me that the idea of signal swap is a term of art. It does not mean you have to necessarily trade for somebody with one other signal one for one. It's possible that, you know, you can sell the signal, and with the proceeds, you can buy two other signals, which means that you could turn New York into a bilingual Pacifica, you know, outlets, one Spanish, one English. So, I mean, this would be a wonderful step forward, you know, with lower power stations for a very desirable signal. And I wonder if people shouldn't be looking at that as a way to solve, you know, solve an ongoing problem as well as deal with the emergency. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn. If anyone would like to make that motion.
So that means the budget's on the table.
Yeah. Is there a second?
No. One quick thing, because this is in regards to the budget, just really quickly.
We've reached time certain.
Okay, I'm just saying, I'm clear from now until December 15th. I'm out of the country. You're not going to have me. I won't be able to converse with people. So.
Okay, are there any objections to adjourning? Hearing none, so adjourned.
No, I object to that.
I think it's finished. Yeah. Yeah, I thought you seconded, Sandy.
No, I didn't second it. I seconded we wait till she's done.
Okay. Is there a second to adjourn?
Second.
Okay. Are there any objections?
You need to schedule.
Hearing
the
none.
Situation. You need to budget.
So adjourn.
You need to schedule.
Thank you for your participation, everyone.